Hi, folks. This is Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. This is episode number 163. This is a practical podcast. I don't go tinfoil hat on you. I just keep things rooted in common sense. Broadcasting to you today from my mobile studio, as is often the case. I am driving down the freeway, headed to a business appointment. Oh, got about an hour's drive here or so. So I got a little bit of free time, and I'm going to go ahead and talk to you about preparedness. And as I said, I'm just an everyday guy, and I keep this rooted in common sense, everyday practical preparedness skills and preparedness living. So this show is going to be about home security. I've been getting a lot of emails from people asking me about different devices for home security. I was in the business many years, a little over 14 years total. I was in the home security business and business, home and commercial security, both. I've done everything from knock on doors, selling home alarm systems. That's how I started. That's how I got introduced. You know, I'm a salesperson, folks, and that's been my living ever since pretty much I got out of college. It's pretty much all I've known is sales and marketing. I love it. Can't ever see doing anything else. Of course, you know, this is my free time. It's not my full-time job. I podcast about preparedness, and I do another show called the Handgun World Show about guns and things like that. Just my free time, just something I enjoy doing and bringing you information. But I've been making my living in the security business. I still do that now, although now I'm calling only on hotels. So I'm in the hospitality business now, trying to get hotels to become more secure so that when you, the guests, stay in a hotel, you can feel comfortable that everything from your guest room to the perimeter and the inside of that hotel is secure. So I'll talk a little bit about that, but there are a lot of you that listen to this from other countries and from the United States that just want to learn how to make your house more secure. So I've done this before, but I'm going to get a little bit more detailed for those of you who have asked that. Let me cover a couple of announcements real quick, and then I'll get right to it, okay? The first announcement is the website is todayssurvival.com. Make sure you put two S's in that web address. That's todayssurvival.com. If you want to send me an email or an audio comment, I welcome audio comments. If you want to record something, I don't care what format is it's in, I'll work with it. I'll be able to put it into the podcast. So if you have something you want to say, a comment on a show, or expand on an idea that I've put out there, or if you've just got some ideas of your own on a subject, feel free to send it to me. Bob@todayssurvival.com is the email address. Bob@todayssurvival.com. Send that over to me. Or if you just want to send in a question or an opinion or something about something that I've covered on this show, that would be great. Join our forum. If you go to todayssurvival.com, click the forum button. I'd like to invite you to join our forum. It will require approval. So once you sign up, you won't be able to start posting right away. I have to approve you. I check it a couple times a day. I'll get you approved as quick as possible. I'm doing that to keep the spammers out. We'd love to have you part of our forum community again at todayssurvival.com. You can find that. And also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, there's a Twitter badge and a Facebook badge on todayssurvival.com. Okay? All right. That pretty much knocks out the announcements. I don't want this show to get too commercial. Oh, excuse me. There is one more thing. My Survival Champions Club podcast. I produce a special show for people who want to support my efforts here. And that special podcast is available to you for only $15. Again, it supports my efforts here at today's Survival Show. I don't have sponsors. You'll notice that there's no commercials from sponsors. I like to keep it that way. This is a listener-supported show. There are expenses, and if you can help me out with that, or if you just like what I do and you want to help compensate me for a little bit of the time that I put into this, that would be great. Go ahead and go to todayssurvival.com, click the Buy Now button, and I will send you an email as to how to get your special Survival Champions Club podcast. There's good interviews on there and good preparedness info. And there's a page on todayssurvival.com that says Survival Champions Club podcast if you want to see what some of the content is. Let me invite you to do that. All right. That pretty much wraps up the announcements that I want to cover. So let's dive right into it here about home security. In the past, I've talked about different layers of protection. And I really believe there are three basic layers of protection of your own personal property. The first layer being the perimeter. Now, you might have two perimeters. If you are in a rural area, you may have two perimeters. The first perimeter is the land around your house, and then the second is the outside of your home. Now, there's different ways to protect those. In the past, what I've advised people to do, and it seems to work out pretty well, it depends on how much money you want to spend. But in the past, I've advised people to protect both the land around your house and the perimeter of your house itself. It really depends on what you're prepping for. If you're preparing for a zombie invasion, of course, and again, I try to keep this practical. I try not to go tinfoil hat on you, all right? But let's go ahead and satisfy the zombie preppers here for a minute. If you're going to prepare for zombies, you want to detect them when they hit the perimeter of the land you own, right? Now, it may be different, of course, depending on whether you live in the suburbs, like me, whether you live in the inner city, like some people, or whether you live out in the country, and maybe you have lots and lots of land. You may not want to protect the entire perimeter, but you might want to pick, oh, for example, let's say 100 yards around your house. And that's kind of my recommendation. If you live out where there's a lot of land, think about 100 yards around your home. It'll take an enemy quite a while to get across 100 yards. And typically, if they're going to be shooting at you, they're probably not going to be shooting at you outside of 100 yards. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but typically, and again, you know, prepping is all about numbers. It's all about preparedness in playing the odds, right? It's all about the odds of what's likely to happen. I would say 100 yards. If you want to extend it out to 150, go ahead and extend it out to 150. I would not advise spending a ton of money trying to protect, you know, a half a mile around your property if you own that much. You might not even own that much land. Okay? But let's say 100 yards. There's a lot of things that you can do that are not very expensive, and let's talk about that. Now, what I'm about to cover here can also be applied if you live in the suburbs. Of course, if you're in the suburbs, maybe protecting your yard might not be the most important thing, but maybe you just want to protect the perimeter of your house. Let me talk about cameras, first of all. For quite a while, I was in the camera business, the CCTV business. A lot of people ask me, Bob, what kind of cameras should I put on my property? Well, first of all, there are indoor cameras and outdoor cameras, and of course, it's pretty obvious, outdoor cameras for the outside. Be prepared to spend some more money. Be prepared to spend probably $300 or $400 for good quality outdoor cameras. Yes, you can get cheap $99 or $80 indoor or outdoor cameras, but folks, you know what? A lot of it is you get what you pay for. If you buy a cheap Chinese-made $80 outdoor camera, you're going to get a cheap Chinese or Taiwanese-made $80 outdoor camera. No guarantees on how long it's going to last. Remember, it's outdoors. It's going to be exposed to the elements. There are some manufacturers I like to recommend. Bosch makes real good cameras. Pelco, P-E-L-C-O, they make pretty good cameras. Anything by Sanyo is usually pretty good. Samsung, usually pretty good. Now, I know these are foreign-made cameras, but these are, you know, these are some of the higher-end ones. You can always go to cctv.com, or you can get on the internet or get on eBay, and you can find outdoor cameras. Again, you know, you're going to get pretty much what you pay for. Now, let's talk about power. You know, a lot of people say, hey, Bob, cameras aren't going to do much good if you don't have any power. That's true, but that's what a backup generator is for. All right, think about it. That's what a backup generator. Most preppers have a generator. If you're going to be doing a lot of security protection around your property, you need to get a backup generator, folks, the biggest you can afford, the biggest and most powerful backup generator you can afford, a gasoline power generator. Okay? You know, could you use battery-operated cameras? Yeah, you could use battery-operated cameras. They do exist. I don't recommend them. I don't recommend them if you're going to be serious about security. Typically, battery-operated cameras are for temporary use. So if you want to get power out there, run power. And this is another reason why I say keep it to 100 yards. Because you're going to have to get power to these cameras if you're going to use them out on your property. And outdoor cameras work well, but they require power. Ordinarily, a backup generator is going to be good enough probably to power your camera for as long as you've got gasoline or as long as you can fuel that generator. For as long as you can keep that generator running, your cameras are going to be running too. Now, there's some benefits to having closed-circuit TV cameras, security cameras. Some of the benefits, and I'm going to get to some other ways you can secure your property as well, but since I'm on the camera subject, let's talk about that. Some of the benefits, of course, is you can watch from the inside of your house who is on your property. And most of the cameras these days that are made are day-night cameras. Meaning, in the day, they're in one mode, and in the evening, they're in another mode. Typically, they're infrared illuminated at night. Typically. All right, so they give you more of a black and white picture at night. It's kind of difficult unless you really spend a ton of money to get a color picture at night. In the daytime, you're going to have a decent color picture. Now, standard resolution cameras are usually good enough for security purposes. There are high-def cameras, and, you know, a lot of commercial businesses that I used to sell to, and even some of the hotels I sell to now, they want to go with high-def cameras. And that's usually more important to them because they want to have extreme detail. A lot of these businesses are monitoring employee theft, unfortunately. Losses from within their own company. So they want to have as detailed of an image as they possibly can. You, the homeowner, you might not need that kind of detail just for basic security, basic home and property security. It's your choice. Standard definition cameras are usually good enough. Now, you can hook that up to a modulator. What a modulator is typically called an FM modulator. The company I used to work for used to make a lot of them. They're called Channel Plus. Channel Plus, if you go to channelplus.com, you'll be able to see. And you can probably get a lot of those off of eBay. A modulator takes that camera signal and it puts it up on your TV set, onto a certain channel on your TV set. Now, you cannot run that through your high-def cable box, or you can't run it through your high-def AT&T U-verse box, or you can't run it through your DirecTV high-def. You're going to have to put it onto a UHF channel, and yes, there are still TVs out there that have UHF. Okay, they have an input that's just a standard digital input. You can do that. Again, you're not going to get a high-def signal, but you might not need it. If you want to get a high-def signal, there are high-definition splitters and high-definition modulators. Now, I'm trying not to get too technical, but if you want to run a high-definition camera, security camera signal, I would strongly suggest getting a professional to install it for you so that it's done right. Because, that's kind of tricky. There's some different things that you have to do when you're running a high-definition signal, and it gets kind of expensive. This is why I say stick to standard definition. You can get these modulators for less than $100. You can pick a channel, let's say, for example, channel 68, okay? Let's say UHF channel 68 on your TV. And all you have to do is go to the standard digital input and then plunk in channel 68 on your television, and you'll be able to see your camera. You'll be able to see the camera signal or see whatever the camera sees. It's pretty much that simple. Now, you can also have motion detectors on your property, and you can sound off, you can have wireless motion detectors that sound off sounders inside your home when someone's on your property. It really depends on how sophisticated you want to get. If you really want to get real simplistic and take the minimalist approach, there's a couple things you can do. Now, I'm not going to talk about fencing because, you can build all kinds of fences and barriers and landscape barriers and things like that. I'm talking about electronic equipment. First of all, I would say, at the bare minimum, if you want to put a security camera out there, great, but at least have something on the perimeter of your house. It's much easier to hook up. It's much easier to run wires from the outside of your home to the inside of your home and connect it to a modulator or to some kind of a TV set. And even if you have, everybody's got flat panel, high definition TVs these days. You can work with those, again, unless you have a high definition signal, and unless you have a high definition modulator or splitter, you're not going to see the camera in high def, but it'll be good enough, okay? It'll probably be resolution 480. Which is going to be probably good enough. You want to know if somebody is on your property. In a stink hit the fan situation, where you might have looters and you might have people out there that are opportunists that want to get what you have, I'd say having an early warning system like this would probably be beneficial. I hope you agree with that. It's important to know who's coming on your property ahead of time. Now, I want to pause right here for a minute and tell you this. If you want more detail, more technical detail, I do have it. and I can email it to you. So send an email to me, bob@todayssurvival.com, and I will email you some much more technical data, including some wiring diagrams and things like that on how to hook these up. I just don't want to get really technical in this podcast because it may confuse some folks that are listening. Now, I'll get back to cameras in just a minute. But I also want to talk about lights. Floodlights are really valuable when it comes to securing your home. One of the problems in the evening hours, if you want to detect or repel people from coming on your property, I guess I shouldn't call it a problem. I should call it something that's useful. Lights. Typically, people don't want to be seen, especially if it's somebody that wants to try to break into your house and they're scoping out your property. I'm going to think a rural application here for a minute. Having good floodlights, and if you've got a fence post, sometimes you can mount a floodlight to a fence post. Again, you got to power these. Here's where a generator comes in handy. You know, but it's very useful. A lot of times when a light comes on, you can get motion-detected outdoor lights. In a house I used to own in the suburbs, I used to have 5 motion-detector outdoor lights. And I liked it. It was good. And now, here's one of the disadvantages of having motion detectors and outside lights. Animals. You know, the neighbor's dog gets loose, comes into your property, guess what? They're going to set off your outdoor light. But that's okay. I mean, if that doesn't bother you, at least it lets you know that somebody's on the property. So I would recommend investing in some outdoor lights as much as you can and get those out, especially putting them on the side of your home. That's very important. Good floodlights, they'll shine light a long ways, folks, and you can see. You know, you can see probably 50 to 60 yards who's coming. And let me tell you what, in the middle of the night, if you're awake in the middle of the night and that light comes on, those big floodlights, you'll be able to see it. It used to alert me. And every once in a while, the neighbor's dog would get loose and come on my property. This is when we lived in Oklahoma. And every once in a while, the neighbor's dog would get loose and come on my property, and boom, those floodlights would come on. And I always thought, you know, if it was a person, I'm going to know about it because I'm going to see that light come on. And then, of course, I hope you're prepared inside your home. For me, it was a warning to, hey, get my firearm, which typically is close by, or I'm wearing it anyway. Get to the window or get to the door. Don't get too close to the window or door, but get to somewhere in my home where I can check it out. And I had 5 of them. And I would go check it out. And like I said, it was always a dog, but you never know. So if you can handle that, if you can deal with that, that might be an option. Lights are not very expensive at all. I mean, you can get good outdoor lights and put them on the side of your house, and you can get those at Home Depot or Lowe's. It's not going to cost you a whole lot of money. Again, this is securing the perimeter. And it helps to secure part of the land around your home because it's going to shine light a long ways, folks. So that, in combination with cameras, if you can afford it, is a good setup for securing the perimeter. Again, there's a lot of physical things you can do. There's a lot of things you can do with landscaping. There's a lot of things that you can do with fencing, with barbed wire. There's all kinds of things with booby traps and everything that you can do. This show is not going to be really about that. I may do that kind of a show later on down the road, but this is going to be mainly about electronic security and electronic measures. And again, folks, think backup generator. Now, getting back to cameras for a minute, you don't even have to modulate cameras to your TV set if you don't want to. You could just have a monitor, just a simple, basic, you could use a computer monitor if you wanted. You could have that hooked up inside your house, and you can connect the cameras to that monitor. And the cameras are typically going to have a coax cable. Some of the lower cost cameras are typically going to have a coax connection. Okay, so you can convert that coax connection. There's all kinds of converters you can buy at different electronic shops. And one end of it is a coax connection, and the other end of it is an HDMI cable, for example. And you can plug it into the HDMI input, or you can plug it into the coax input of your TV if you have it. If you have a TV with a coax input. Some do, and some of these days, the TVs that are out there today don't have a coax input. There's nothing that says you can't run a standard definition signal into your HDMI input. Okay, it's not going to be a high def signal, but you can still do it. And you can get coax to HDMI converters. All right, you can also get up converters too. Where you could, and again, I'm trying not to get too technical here, but you can get up converters, and if you want, as a matter of fact, in the show notes, I'll probably put a link to a couple of up converters, where it'll increase the definition of that camera coming in. So, for example, if it's a standard def and it comes in at 480p or 480i, for example, it'll convert that up to like 720, for example, and it'll send it through your HDMI connection. Again, you'd connect the camera to the up converter, and then you'd have to connect the up converter to your TV. This is a lot of wiring, but it can be done. Now, if you're building a bug-out location or if you're building a home, it's so much easier to run these wires when you're building. If you're retrofitting this stuff, hire somebody to do it. Hire somebody that knows what they're doing to do this. Okay? I call them attic rats. No offense to any alarm installers, but hey, find a good alarm installer. They're used to being an attic rat. They're used to going in attics. If you have a two-story house, it's going to be a lot more difficult. If you have a single-story house with attic space, or if you live in an area where there's basements and you've got basement space, you're good to go. It's not going to be too hard to get wires into certain parts of your home. You won't be able to get it to everywhere in your house, but again, remember, this is an early warning system. This is an early warning system that tells you that somebody's coming on your property. So there's different things you can do. You can upconvert that signal if you want. Most of them are just going to have an F connector, and they're going to have a coax cable that's coming out of the camera. The basic cameras are going to be that way. Now, some of the more sophisticated cameras, if you want to spend money, folks, you can just hook an Ethernet cable up to the camera, and you can plug that camera into your computer network inside your house. And it's an IP-based camera, so the camera has an embedded IP address in it. Now, this is kind of slick. I mean, these IP cameras are more money, but they're kind of worth it because all you have to do is just run an Ethernet cable from the camera to your network connection. And the camera has an embedded IP address. So all you've got to do is point your computer to that IP address and you can view the camera. And Bosch makes really good ones that do that. I mean, Bosch has some very good IP cameras. They're not the only manufacturer, but they are a manufacturer that I'm pretty familiar with. I'm familiar with the Bosch because we used to sell a lot of those, the Bosch IP cameras. They've got some out there for about $480. They're not all that expensive. And, you know, you'd have to put them inside of a housing. They're not an outdoor camera, but there's all kinds of camera housings you can find for like $50 or $60, which will make it almost weatherproof. And you put that camera inside of the housing to protect it from the weather, and you're good to go. And this is really cool because, you know, from any iPhone, a Droid phone, a computer, anything that has a browser, that has an internet browser, all you got to do is put that IP address in your favorites, and you can look at that, and you can see what your camera's seeing pretty much anytime you want. And those come out in both standard definition and high definition cameras as well. So you might want to consider that. If you're going to use cameras, you might want to consider IP-based cameras. That's pretty much the wave of the future. That's pretty much where things are going right now. You know, everything is internet protocol based, and that's what IP means, internet protocol. So the embedded IP address, it lets you do all kinds of things too. Not only viewing the camera, but you can program the camera with your laptop and stuff like that. And here's the cool thing about IP cameras. You can view them from anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection. As long as there's an internet connection, you can view them. Now, there are people that say, well, Bob, if the stink hits the fan and we don't have any internet, then those internet cameras aren't going to do me any good, right? Not so. That's not quite the truth. You can direct connect. So you might want to have a backup direct connection. Okay? You can direct connect into that IP camera because good IP cameras also have an embedded web server in there. They have a miniature web server in the camera that will allow you to open up your browser and direct connect your laptop into the camera. So it's going to make it more difficult if the stink does hit the fan and there is no internet service. Yes. Then your IP cameras, it's going to be more difficult to view them, but you can still see them with the direct connect method. Again, you got to make sure if you're going to buy an IP camera, you got to make sure that it's the type that you can direct connect to. I know with Bosch cameras, a lot of those you can. And I think some of the Pelco cameras and the Sanyos and the Samsungs and some of those types of brands, I'm pretty sure you can do that. Double check that. Before I post this, I'll try to do a little research and see if I can point you to some links of that. But again, it really depends on how bad this thing hits the fan. Sometimes there's tragedies and emergency, folks, where there's still internet connection. And if the internet's down, sometimes it's not down all that long. So you got to think about preparedness from the standpoint of before something happens and after something happens. What I'm talking about right now, CCTV cameras and IP cameras, well, this can help you even, let's say there's not a disaster. Let's say there's not some major regional disaster that knocks out phone and internet service for a long time. Let's say you just want to see who's coming on your property. Maybe you've been getting broken into. Maybe you think you're at risk for home invasions. Whatever. Okay? Maybe you just want to have the protection and the peace of mind that this kind of stuff offers you. Well, 99 times out of 100, the internet's going to be working when you try to look at that camera, and it's going to give you the picture. Again, there's trade-offs. There's trade-offs to everything. I used to make a lot of sales to people that just wanted a basic analog camera, and they wanted it to be plugged into a monitor 24/7 inside their home. And then any time they wanted to look at the camera, they would just look at their monitor. They'd just go turn their monitor on, or some people would leave it on all the time. That's an old-fashioned way of doing it. That's an old technology way of doing it, but that's what some people wanted. So that's fine. That's one way you can do it. Some people like to use the modulation, even though that's kind of old technology. There are some people that just prefer that. They'd rather just be able to tune their TV to a certain TV channel, you know, flip it over to the standard definition input, which means you don't use HDMI 1 or HDMI 2 or HDMI 3. It means you use the off-air connection, the off-air input on your TV. Some people just want to flip their TV to that and tune it to a certain channel and see what's on. See what's on the camera. Okay? There's different ways you can do it. Some people like the IP cameras. Okay. But let's get off cameras for a minute, because that's not the only way to do it. But I wanted to give you a little bit of information there on cameras and using lights. As far as protecting the perimeter of your home, let's get out of talking about your land and let's just talk about the outside of your home. You've got more flexibility because it's easier to connect to a power source when you're mounting things on the outside or the inside of your home. I would strongly suggest that you at least have some kind of an intercom doorbell at the doors, at your front, back, side doors, wherever it is that you typically have people come to when they come to your home. Most of the time it's a front door. I know people that will buy these, they'll buy complete intercom systems sometimes, just so they can answer the door, you know, in an audio format, they can answer the door from any room in the house. That's a security feature, folks. I used to make sales to people that would spend $800 or $900 on a complete intercom system. And the only reason they wanted the intercom system is because they wanted to be able to talk to the front door if somebody came there. And basically, it replaces your doorbell. It replaces your doorbell. Again, some wiring has to be done. There aren't very many good wireless options for this. But if you're good with wiring, if you're good with running Cat 5 wire, you can do this. Okay? If you can run Category 5 or Category 5E or Cat 6 wire, you can. It's not that difficult. And again, a lot of it depends on if you want any exposed wire either. I mean, if you want exposed wire, then wiring is easy. If you want all the wiring hidden, it's a lot harder. Again, this is all easier if you're building a place. So think about this, those of you building bug-out locations or those of you building houses. If you have a single-story or houses with basements, it's easier. But you might want to consider replacing the front doorbell of your home with an intercom doorbell. Now, there's a brand called Aiphone, A-I-P-H-O-N-E, A-I-P-H-O-N-E. They make and sell some pretty easy-to-install intercom doorbell phones, and some of them even have a little video monitor so you can both see and hear the person that is at your door. Aiphone makes some very simple audio versions where the guest just pushes the button and it sounds just like a doorbell. It actually replaces your doorbell, and then you can just push a button on the inside of the house, and using a speaker mic inside the house, you can talk to the person at the front door and try to identify them, all without having to open your door. And then they also sell another version that allows you to see the person And sometimes it's just a small black and white screen, but guess what? It's better than not being able to see them at all. And this way, you can ask, you can find out who they are. You can identify the person, find out what it is that they want, and why they're there. Folks, a lot of home invaders will act like innocent people that are just coming to your door maybe to ask for directions or ask for help. You know, a lot of people think that an invader is going to automatically just come busting the door in. Not so. Not so. Some of them like to disguise themselves as people that are there for a good reason when really they're not. And their goal is going to be to ring your doorbell and get you to open the door. Do not do that. Do not do that unless you know who is at that door. Do not open your door. I hate to sound paranoid, but this is the world we live in, folks. I know a lot of you might be thinking, oh, Bob, come on, man. You're really getting paranoid here. No, I'm not. I'm being realistic. This is the world we live in now in 2011. I'm sorry if maybe that's not something that you want to admit. It is the world that we live in. So you might want to check out AFone. Typically, you have to buy them from a dealer. Typically, if you get a hold of an alarm dealer, any decent alarm dealer that does security alarms, they're probably going to know the AFone product. I highly recommend them. I used to sell a lot of AFone products. Everybody who I've sold them to liked them. And I would, at the very least, when it comes to the perimeter of your house, at the very least, I would consider an AFone doorbell intercom product. And you can install as many of these you want in as many doors as you want to set up that way, okay? It's your choice. Again, remember, a lot of this benefits you before the stink hits the fan, but also it could help you even after. Now, let's just talk about regular alarm systems here for a minute. I've been getting a lot of emails, people asking me what kind of an alarm system do I recommend. It really depends on whether you want to self-install it or have a professional install it. I'm going to be a little bit repetitive, but I'll throw a few new things in here. During my tenure in selling home security, I learned quite a bit. First of all, I highly, highly, highly recommend a monitored alarm system. I'm not saying that a non-monitored alarm system is no good. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying a monitored alarm system is a lot better. Yes, I know there are monthly fees. I really believe strongly in living debt-free. I believe in the Dave Ramsey program of living debt-free. So if you cannot afford the monitoring fee, don't go into debt to afford the monitoring fee. Make sure you can pay cash for it every month. But if you can't, if you're on a budget, you're trying to pay off debt, I completely understand. Been there, done that. Okay, today I live debt-free because I got serious about my financial preparedness as well as everything else. So if you have to put in a non-monitored alarm system because you don't want those monthly fees right now, I understand. But you know what? There are decent monitoring companies out there that'll monitor for, you know, $20 a month. If you search around, and again, I get a lot of people asking me, well, who should I monitor with, Bob? Who should monitor my system? I don't know. I can't answer that because everybody lives in different parts of the country. Here in Texas, I know a lot of great monitoring companies. But, you know, if you email me from Ohio or from Massachusetts or New York or California or states that are far away, I don't know. I don't know. Just check it out. You know, talk to some people. Look at signs in people's yards. Talk to people who do have alarm systems. Ask them if they're happy with their monitoring company, and maybe you might want to go with them. There's some advantages of having a monitored alarm system. Here's the first advantage. You get a substantial homeowner's insurance discount. A substantial, probably 10 to 15% based on your insurance company. Now, that helps pay for some of the monitoring, folks. Your reduction in your homeowner's insurance rates helps pay for probably close to half of the monitoring fees, maybe a third of the monitoring fees, but helps you pay for some of it because you get a discount. That's if you own your home. Now, why is that? Well, you know, insurance companies are not stupid, folks. Insurance companies are in business to make money, and they know the odds. Insurance companies know the odds. They know that if somebody has a monitored home alarm system, the chance of loss is far less. The chance of that homeowner filing a claim is going to be far less. So the insurance company gives you a discount because they want to incentivize you to get that. All right? Think about the way insurance companies operate. They're no dummies. I mean, State Farm gives me a 10% discount on my alarm system because it's monitored. They give me 15% discount if I have monitored smoke detectors, which I do. I have monitored smoke detectors. My smoke detectors are integrated with my home alarm system. And so they are monitored. So in other words, all I have to worry about is getting out of my house. Or if a fire starts in my home while I'm away, the monitoring company is going to automatically dispatch the fire department for me. Hopefully the fire department might be able to get there and save my house sooner. Okay, but still, they're monitored, and guess what? State Farm gives me now a 15% reduction in my homeowner's insurance because I have monitored smoke detectors. So think about insurance companies. Why would they give you that discount? Because they're not stupid, because they know less things happen. You want to be on the side of less things happening to you, don't you? This is why I strongly urge that you get it monitored. I know it sometimes takes the cops 3 to 5 minutes. I've heard as long as 10 minutes to get there. That's not the point. The point is the cops are not going to get there to save you. You need to have a way to save yourself. This is why I'm a big believer in firearms, or have some way from inside your home to defend yourself, because the cops aren't going to get there. You know, in my handgun world show that I do every week, talking about guns, I like to say, hey, the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Well, isn't that true? You know, cops are historians. They're going to get there after the fact to record all the facts of what happens, and that's about it. Rarely are you going to call 911, or even rarely is the alarm company going to be able to get in touch with the cops and get the cops fast enough there to stop a home invasion. That's typically not going to happen. So you need to provide for that protection yourself. But the beautiful thing is, especially when it comes to fire and smoke detectors, this is one of the reasons why you should have a monitored alarm system and monitored smoke detectors. Okay? And even so, there are burglars that will do this. Now, listen carefully here. There are burglars that do this, and today more than ever they do this. They will kick in your door when you're not at home. They'll kick in your door, and then they will leave. And they will wait to see if an alarm system comes on. They'll wait to see if they hear a siren. They'll kick in your door, and then they'll listen for the siren. If they hear a siren, oh, okay, that's their clue, you have an alarm. Typically, that scares them away, they leave, they don't bother entering. Now, if they do bother entering, here's what a sophisticated burglar will do. They'll kick in your door, they'll wait for the siren, and then they'll drive a half a block away and hide. And they'll wait to see if the police show up in a few minutes. Or 5 minutes, or 10 minutes. They'll wait. The reason they're doing this, they want to see if your system is monitored. If the police don't show, even though your siren's going off, if the police don't show in 10 minutes, guess what? That's the signal to the thieves, hey, you know what? This system's not monitored. We can now enter the house freely. No one is going to come for quite a while, and they will clean you out, folks. They will clean you out. And if you don't believe that this happens, I'm sorry you don't believe that, because it's true. It happens. You just talk to police officers. You know, anybody that's been serving as a cop for a while will probably tell you that they have responded to calls like this eventually, where the house was just cleaned out and the burglars were in there for a long time. And oftentimes, the homeowners come home only to walk in on a burglar who is already inside your house because you didn't have a monitored alarm. At least if it's monitored, even if it takes the cops 3, 5, 10 minutes to get there, at least they're going to show up. It'll prevent the dirtbags who broke into your house. It'll prevent them from staying there a long time. And it'll also probably prevent the scenario, the very unsafe scenario, where you come home from the grocery store or a doctor's appointment or whatever, and you come home and you walk in on someone who has broken into your house. That's not a good situation, folks. And here's the problem. More burglars than ever these days are armed. Yes, they are armed. Keep in mind, they're criminals. Okay? Criminals can get guns, they can get knives, they can get whatever they want. I mean, they can. You know, if you deny that, you're naive, folks, if you deny that. They can get whatever they want to get. And oftentimes, there's more than one of them. Oftentimes, there's two or three of them, and they're armed, or at least one of them is armed. And they will overpower you if they're already in your house and you come home. Unless, of course, you're ready for that. But you want to avoid that situation, and this is where monitoring helps you. Okay? So hopefully I've made a decent case here for a monitored alarm. If you still don't want to get it monitored for some reason, there's nothing wrong with a non-monitored alarm system. Laser Shield is a good product. Lasershield.com. Laser Shield is a good product. You can buy it and you can have it non-monitored. It's very easy to install. It's wireless. I think it can run on a backup battery. I'm not sure. I'll check that. I'll double check that and I'll try to put something in the show notes about that. So even if you don't have any power for a certain length of time, it has a backup battery in it and it will continue to protect your home. Laser Shield's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. It's ridiculously easy to install, folks. Yeah, you got to pay a little bit up front, you know, $300-$400, maybe $500 if you want to get a sophisticated one, but I highly recommend it. Go to lasershield.com. All these companies that I'm recommending to you folks, I have no interest in them. What that means is I have no financial interest. I'm not getting paid a commission. This is not an advertisement. I don't represent them in any way. I just know these products because I've dealt with them before. I've sold them. I know people who use them, and I think that they're pretty decent products. So I've mentioned Bosch cameras, I've mentioned Sanyo, and I've mentioned Pelco, and I've mentioned JVC cameras, and I've mentioned Samsung cameras and Laser Shield products for home protection. You know, even if you have to go with a basic ADT system, even though I hate saying those words, ADT. I'm not a big fan of ADT, folks. I'm going to try not to slam companies. I don't really like to do that in a public format like this. But I've had some bad experiences with ADT, and I just typically don't like them. Typically, your independent alarm company who's been in business for a while. Find somebody who's been in business for a while. Your independent, non-nationally recognized alarm company who monitors locally in your area, typically, is going to be your best bet. Check them out. Make sure they're licensed, bonded, and insured. You know, ask them to give you some references if they can. If they're worth their salt, they can give you some references. If they're doing a decent job, there's going to be people or businesses that use this company, and go with them. All right? I like the small independent guys. Number one, it helps support your local economy and your local small business people, which we need more of in this country. But also, the big national companies like the ADTs tend to really lack big time on their customer service. Again, just personal experience. I'm probably going to get some hate mail for saying that, all right? If there's somebody affiliated with ADT, right, they're probably going to slam me. But you know what? You, the listener, you're more important to me than advertising for any big company. I want you to be satisfied. And again, I'm just giving you personal experience, okay? But check out the Laser Shield product, lasershield.com. Now, consider all of this early warning systems and preventative measures. I'm also a big fan of using signs and stickers. If you were to come to my house, you're going to see two prominently displayed security signs advertising that I have a security system. I believe in that. I believe you should advertise that you have a security system. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. I've had people say, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know. Right? They're privacy freaks. I don't want anybody to know that I have an alarm system. Why wouldn't you want anybody to know that you have a security system? That's your first deterrent. Especially the signs and the stickers on the windows and the signs in the yard. That's your first deterrent. It's a proven fact that most petty burglars, most people who are not pros, most people who are just looking for a way to steal something to get a quick fix, if they see that you have an alarm system, they're going to go somewhere else. Because there's plenty of homes in your area that don't have an alarm system, okay? There just are. There's plenty of them. There's still a lot of people these days that don't have a security alarm system. I don't know why, but there are. There's just people that don't value their security. They spend $120 a month on TV and $1,000 on a nice flat screen, but they won't spend $20 a month to have their home secured. I don't get it. But it's still a fact, folks. I'm serious. I mean, their cell phone bills are $100 a month, but they won't spend $20 a month to protect their home and their family. I don't get it. They won't spend less than a dollar a day to protect their home and family, what they value most, right? I don't get it, but they exist out there. So what I'm saying is if you're going to get it monitored, go with a local alarm company, but mostly your local security companies are going to know about a lot of the products that I've said on this podcast. All right, they're probably very familiar with them because I'm talking to you about brand names and products that are very popular today that a lot of people use. And again, this was my profession for a long time. And still, I sell a little bit of these products, and I refer a lot of hotels to these types of products as well. But once again, these are early warning systems. Now, let's talk some more about the perimeter of your house, okay? The perimeter of your dwelling, your home sweet home. Now, think about this. Another reason why you want to secure the perimeter of your house is, hey, all the preps you have, all the food you have stored, all the water you have stored, all the supplies that you have, the bug-out bags and everything. Everything, you want to protect that too, folks. You want to protect all that from theft. So consider doing some very simple, low-cost things to secure your house. I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Something that gets neglected a lot are things like the door hardware. You know, consider the door hardware. Consider the strike plates on your door frame, the door jamb. Those strike plates sometimes are only being held in by little half-inch screws, and your plates, your strike plates are screwed into a half an inch flimsy wood, which is your door frame. That's very easy to kick in. Do you realize that when somebody kicks in your door, it's not the door that breaks, and it's not your handle that breaks, it's not your door lock that breaks. It's the door jamb, the frame. That's what breaks. Because it's ridiculously easy to kick in. I mean, anybody with a decent amount of strength, or even a decent sledgehammer or whatever, can bust in your door, unless you do some simple things. Okay? Remove those piece of junk screws, take those out of your strike plates, get some 3-inch or 4-inch screws, and use those because those will go right into the 2x4 frame around your door. Okay? Your door is probably framed with 2x4s. All of your doors inside of your house, probably when it was built, it's framed by 2x4s. You want to have screws long enough that go into your strike plates that will drive, that will go all the way into the 2x4 frame. Now, that is going to be a lot more difficult for somebody to kick in. And what does that cost you? $2 for the screws at Walmart or Home Depot? And, of course, it's real easy. Just take the screws out and put the new screws in yourself. You know, just use the same screw holes that are there for your existing strike plate. All you're doing is just replacing the screws themselves. That simple little thing right there, that simple little thing can make a big difference. It helps prevent people from kicking in your door. Now, what's to prevent them from smashing in a window and unlocking your door manually? Well, nothing, unless you have a monitored alarm system. You can also get glass break sensors for your alarm system. Glass break sensors will detect the breaking glass. They'll detect the frequency and the vibration of detecting glass. They're calibrated to do that. And again, I don't want to get real engineering type technical with you. I'm just telling you that they work. That's what they do. They detect the frequency, the noise frequency, the sound, and they detect the vibration that's caused when glass is broken. And they're pretty good. They're pretty reliable. Today's high-tech glass break sensors work pretty well. That will detect, if you're really, really, you know, into that much security. That'll help you detect if somebody is about to, or if somebody breaks in your, you know, busts glass and opens the door manually. Now, oftentimes, though, most home invaders don't want to do that, especially if they're just a petty burglar. They don't want to draw that much attention to themselves. Breaking glass is noisy. Maybe the neighbors will hear it. They typically don't want to. They don't want to draw that much attention to themselves. They don't want to be caught. They don't want to be seen. They just want to smash and grab. They want to kick in a door real quick, get in, grab, and get out. And folks, the cops are never going to get there before all that is all finished. So think about it. That's where home alarm systems help. It also helps when you're at home. A home alarm system can be used in the home mode. The home mode means that if a door is open, you're going to have an alarm, but the motion detectors inside your house don't work. Because if you're at home, you don't want the motion detectors in your house working, typically. So use your alarm in the home mode. This means if you're sleeping, somebody comes in the middle of the night, they're going to set off that 110 decibel or 105 decibel siren that you have. And there's your early warning system. There's your warning system to get your gun. Okay, that tells you, hey, unwanted intruder is in my house. And hopefully that's going to give you maybe 10 to 15 seconds of reaction time that you might not have if you don't have at least some kind of a noisemaker in your house. And again, this is the benefit of having an alarm system that's not monitored. It will at least function as a noisemaker, like I've just described. It will function as an early warning system to let you know when somebody unwanted is coming into your home. Okay, now, something else that I want to talk about. I did an episode quite a while ago, several months ago, and basically the theme of that episode was about dogs. It was about how dogs are not a home alarm system. And I talked about how the fact that you can't rely on your dogs to be your sole source of your home alarm system, of your home security system. Dogs can be defeated. Now, are dogs a deterrent? Yes. Yes, dogs are a deterrent, especially a big, loud, mean-sounding, barking dog. Yes, they are a deterrent. They will sometimes send a message to a burglar, go someplace else. But you can't rely on sophisticated burglars. If they're armed, will shoot your dogs. All right, they'll lace a piece of meat with poison. And they'll convince your dog, they'll coax your dog once they bust into your house to eat the meat and die. There's ways to defeat dogs. Okay, sometimes the burglar will go, one will go to the back door and one will go to the front door. And they'll distract the dogs to the back of the house while somebody breaks in the front of your house and then eventually shoots your dogs. You know, a lot of police have responded to burglary calls, and when they get there, they find dead animals in the house that have been shot by the intruders or killed by the intruders somehow. Folks, dogs can be defeated, but yes, they are a deterrent. So, if you feel so inclined, and you have a large dog that is very good and very territorial that will protect your home, he or she can be a deterrent, but I would not rely on them 100%. I know you love your pets. I love my pet to death, but I'm not going to rely on her, on my dog. I'm not going to rely on her to do the complete job of protecting my home and family. I'm much more of a prepper than that. I'm not going to leave that in the hands of an animal. That there's just too much room for error there. Okay? So I hope you didn't get the wrong impression when I did that episode several months ago. I don't even remember what episode number that was now. But yeah, if you go through some of my older episodes, you'll find it. Something about our dogs a security system or something like that. And I even played some audio clips on there to prove my point. And some people had some differing opinions, and that's okay. There's some comments you might want to read on that. I'm just saying don't rely 100% on your pets. Okay. I hope that gives you a decent idea about home security. Hopefully I have satisfied some of the people that have been sending me emails because you wanted specifics. You wanted me to talk about different types of technology. Some of you wanted me to recommend products, so I did. I even recommended some brand names. I even gave you some hints as to where to get them and who to buy them from and approximately how much they cost and things like that. Again, I don't mind answering more of these questions in private emails. Check the show notes for this posting. Underneath the podcast posting, you're going to see some links. I'll try to put some links. I also like to try to start a thread on the forum and have a discussion about this, so I will do that. I'll start a thread for episode 163 on home security. You can get on the forum. You can ask me questions. I'll do the best I can to answer them on the forum if you'd like. And that's actually a good way to do it because then everybody who is on the forum, or even the general public, can look on there and they can see some of the info. But again, if you want to discuss some of this stuff privately, please feel free to email me at bob@todayssurvival.com. And so, with all that being said, I am going to go ahead and conclude. So my name is Bob Main, and you've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show, where it's my goal to help you keep your pad more secure, help you keep your home more secure, your property, and help you do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Thanks for listening, folks. I'll catch you next time. Have a good one. Goodbye.